Well, good morning. We are active. We're going to continue to look at prayer, and we're looking at what's known as the Lord's Prayer. And this is on the back of what we've been studying together and looking over the last few weeks and maybe even months about standing firm. And I was thinking this morning about standing firm again. And we stand firm, I believe, because the wind of adversity is always trying to blow us off course. And God says that He's given us a pathway, hasn't He? He's given us a straight street. He's made the high low and the low, high. And so we're to stand firm with the belt of truth, with the fullness of God's armour, His protection. And then at the end of that passage, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And it talks about prayer also being a weapon for us. And I know for myself, there's times where I fail to pray when I know I should pray. And there's times where I pray just out of familiarity. But I believe the Lord is encouraging us to pray in all circumstances, whether it's good or it's not good, to pray in all circumstances. So I want to share one or two or 25 scriptures with you. Looking in Matthew 6, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what I want us to briefly look at today. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And how many of us, when we first become Christians and even now, we go, God, what's your will for me? Have you done that? Where should I go? Where should I live? Who should I marry? Who shouldn't I marry? Should I get married? Should I stay single? Should I take that job? You been there? Should I do this? Should I walk that way? Should I have that relationship, that friendship? What's your will for my life, Lord? And if you're like me, that's a prayer that you prayed quite frequently. What is your will, Lord? And God speaks to us in different ways. There are times, I believe, that God would have spoken to you and say, yes, it's my will for you to remain single. Yes, it's my will for you to marry. Yes, it's my will for you to go down this road. But Scripture tells us what God's will is for our lives in a general way. And I just want to share one or two things just to encourage us when we say, Father, your will be done. And when we think about heaven, we think about it being perfect, don't we? So we could say, well, are we going to pray for perfection here on earth? Well, we can pray for it, but we don't see it, do we? We don't see that perfection. In heaven, there'll be no sickness. So should we pray for everybody to be healed on earth? Well, we should pray for God's miraculous work, because he can heal, can't he? He can do the miraculous. So we shouldn't rule that out. But we should also realise that there are times where God doesn't heal, where not everybody's sitting by the pool of Siloam. Not everybody goes into the water, as Scripture tells us. Not everybody's lowered on the mat. But we are encouraged to pray in this way, your will be done. Your will be done. And let's just look at some of the Scriptures that talks about the will of God. And in Mark 1, verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, when we look through Scripture, we could easily say, even though it doesn't say, the will of God is that we all preach good news. But the will of God for Christ was when he was here to preach good news. And he left that message for me and you. So the will of God is for us to be those that proclaim good news. There's enough bad news in the world, isn't there? And we're to proclaim the good news. And we know what the good news is. It's about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look through these scriptures, there's not much here that won't be familiar to you. But I just want to put it in such a way that it encourages you to be reminded that God has a will for our lives. That God knows what he's doing. And it's no coincidence that you're here listening to what he says about you and what he says about kingdom. Try and grab what it is I'm trying to share in between the verses that don't talk about God's will, but we are talking about God's will. Hopefully it'll make sense in a moment. Romans 7, starting at verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? And when you read through this scripture, Paul is challenged. And Paul is challenged to minister the fullness of God's truth. And yet he understands what it is to be in the world but not of the world. He understands what it is to be well-fed and to be hungry. So just listen to what it is he's saying here. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was if it had not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, by the law, produced in me, he says, every kind of coveting, for apart from the law, sin was dead. In verse 9, once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang into life and I died. In verse 10, I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. Verse 11, for sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Verse 13, did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. Verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I thought this was supposed to be good news. Let's carry on. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. This is a familiar portion of scripture that I find very encouraging because it speaks about me. It may speak about you at times. Let's continue. I do not understand what I do, Paul says, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, I keep on doing. Verse 20, now if I do what I think he's Norfolk, don't you? If I do what I want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me. Bear with me. Verse 21, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work within me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the body that is subject to death? Verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I know that was a big portion of scripture to read to get to this point. We know that sin is there waging war against us. And Paul puts it in an eloquent way. He puts it in a way that he says, I know the things I should do, but I find them difficult. I find them difficult. And the things that I shouldn't do, I find easy. And that's the law of sin at work in our bodies. He says, but I've become alive to righteousness and put to death the sinful side of my nature. It's God's will that we recognize that we've been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when we have this battle, it's the Lord's will, I believe, that we understand that those battles are real, but we also need to understand that he's given us a deliverer. His name is Jesus. He came to save us, not to judge us, that will come, but to save us. So the will of God, I believe, part of his will for me and you, is that we recognize our sinful nature, we recognize the Savior who saves us from that sinful nature, and we wrestle using the weapons that God has given us to stand firm, so when the wind of adversity blows, it won't blow us over. And as God goes through Old Testament, New Testament, he talks to us, he speaks to us, he encourages about his will. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you." This is a portion of scripture that many Christians quote and many Christians understand, but many Christians don't understand. I'm not going to go into it in depth. I'm going to read the simplicity of it, and the simplicity of it is true. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." God knows you. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows that he wants you to walk in his will. He knows that there's a pathway that he wants you to walk upon. He knows the plans he has for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. And when we look at prosperity, we can be fooled into thinking it's just about financial prosperity. It's bigger than that. When God says he wants to prosper us, it's like the fullness of who he is. Nothing broken, nothing missing. He wants to give us the fullness of who he is through Christ Jesus. He wants us to see the fullness of what he has for me and you through Christ Jesus. He wants you and I to know the fullness of his will through his word. And it goes on to say in verse 12, "Then you will call on me and come and pray, and I will listen to you." God's will for our lives is that we call upon him. We call upon him. And that he will listen is what he says. And he goes on in verse 13, he says, "You will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you." God's will is that we become wholehearted, not half-hearted. When we look through scripture, God says from time to time that Caleb was wholehearted, not half-hearted. And there are times where we can just simply say, "God, what's your will for my life?" Well, we could suggest that we become wholehearted, that we pursue him, that we call out to him, knowing that he will answer us. In Luke 22, verse 42, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." This is Jesus praying this prayer. It will be familiar to you. And Jesus understood what it was he was going to go through. Fully God, yet fully man. He understood the pain and the suffering, didn't he? He understood that he was not just taking the natural pain, but the spiritual pain. He was taking the judgment of the world upon himself. And yet, this is what he said. He's praying to Father God here. He's saying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And I want to suggest that when we read the prayer that says, "Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," there are times that we could think that God's will for me is never to suffer. Well, I don't think God puts his finger on me or you and say, "You're going to suffer." But he knows that suffering's in the world, doesn't he? And he knows that we're in the world. So if we're in the world, then we are going to suffer at times, aren't we? Jesus understood what this meant. And there was a will that the Father God had for the Son. There was a pathway that he had to walk. It doesn't mean you have to walk that same pathway as Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. We accept the cross. Jesus hung on the cross. We've been set free because of the cross. So there is a will for our lives. God doesn't will us to be suffering, but I believe he wants us, when we are suffering, when we do go through those times of pain, to call upon him, knowing that he will answer. The will of God is that we have a relationship with him. That's what scripture tells me when I read it. When I say, "Lord, what's your will for my life?" In this season that I find myself in, I'm asking that, "Lord, what's the will? What's your will in my life?" And as I read these scriptures, prepare for us today, it speaks back to me as well. It encourages me and it convicts me. And in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8. Do not be stiff-necked as your ancestors were. Submit to the Lord. Come to his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever. Serve the Lord your God, so that his fierce anger will not turn away from you. And when you look at this word stiff-necked, it's doing your own thing. It's like, I'm not going to look towards you. You can imagine, or maybe not, but let me just paint the picture for you. There's the children of God in the desert, and they're going to die unless they look up to the snake, unless they look up in the sense to the Lord. And some of them did and some of them didn't. Now maybe the ones that didn't were stiff-necked. I'm not turning towards God. And through this portion of scripture, the will of God is for us to be wholehearted and supple before him. Remember what scripture tells us. It says, he is the potter, we are the clay. And if you've ever been to a pottery, you'll know that they're constantly putting water on the clay to keep it supple. Yes? So that they can shape it and they can mold it. And that's what God does with me and you. He shapes us and he molds us. Part of the will of God, I believe, for us, and I want you to check out scripture for yourself, is that we are that supple piece of clay that allows God to make us. Some for noble, some for ignoble. Some may have holes in, some may not. Some may have a big foundation, some may have a narrow neck. God makes us the way that he wants to make us. But our prayer is to say, Lord, your will be done in my life. Whether we're going on a journey of adversity, we're all going on a journey of prosperity, because we all have an inheritance, don't we? We all have an inheritance from God. So today's message is about your kingdom come, your will be done. The will of God in our lives. Just to remind us that God has already given us his scripture, his written word, and he will speak to us through his rhema word when we ask. He will say directly into our hearts, this is the will I have for you in a certain situation. But apart from that, God's word talks about his will on numerous occasions. In Mark 12, verse 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus said, the most important one is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Lord, what's your will for my life? To love me, God says. To serve me. To turn towards me. To look at me, to be supple when you come before me. Not to be stiff-necked, but to be pliable. And to love your neighbour the way that you love me. And God goes on. Scripture tells us when we're asked, and who is my neighbour? And I won't go into that story, but the neighbour, our neighbour is the person in front of us. That person could be a friend, that person could be an enemy. Our neighbour, at times, looking at the Samaritan and the Jew, could be somebody that opposes us. Yet God says, part of the will for your life is to live for me and let my strength be in you so that you can manifest my presence to even your enemies. That's part of the will of God. And sometimes we don't see that when we pray, Lord, what's your will for my life? Well, part of his will is that we should do good. Part of his will is that we should sacrifice. Part of the will of God is that we should walk down this narrow pathway that he's given us. Part of the will of God is that we should love him more, that we should get to know him better. In Hebrews 11, verse 39, it says, these, and if you go up through Hebrews, you'll see that there's a long list of men that were promised certain things from God, and yet they died before those promises were fulfilled. And these, they're who we're talking about, these were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God's given us a plan. He's given us a purpose. He's going to prosper us and not harm us. God's got a road way mapped out for your life, and there'll be promises that God's given you and I that we will read in Scripture and we'll go, yes, this is the will that you have for my life, Lord. And we may die before we see them come to pass, but they will still come to pass because God has a greater plan for us. Part of the will for his children, I believe, is that we fully understand that we are in this world but not of this world. Fully understand that even though Scripture says that Christ came to save the world, Scripture also tells us that he's coming back to judge the world. And that we as his sons and daughters will be with him when he comes again. And that's part of the will of God, that we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Not just sanctified and set apart, but those that are going from glory to glory. In our weaknesses, God wants you to know that he is still your strength. Lord, what's your will for my life? In Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. For we know that in all things God works for the good of those that love him. So part of his will is that we understand that he knows, and he turns what's meant for evil into good. That God knows our circumstances and situations. Just as the Father knew when Jesus said, if this cup can be taken from me, but not my will, but yours be done. God knows your heart. Part of his will is that we build a stronger relationship and dependency on him, I believe. In Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say on that day, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Only those that does the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that we have a relationship with him. Because if you think about this portion of Scripture, depart from me for I do not know you. To know God is not just to know about him. There's many people that know about God. There's many people in Scripture that talks about, oh, give us this spirit that we see you using so that we can cast out the demons. They knew of Paul, they knew of Jesus, but they did not know him. Paul I know, Christ I know, who are you, the demon said. So part of the will of God for me and you is that we know him, that we have a relationship with him. That means that we speak to him and we recognize his voice when he speaks to us, when he quickens to us, and he will. Because there are many people, Scripture says, that will say, did I not prophesy in your name? So it's not just enough to prophesy. It's not just enough to cast out demons in his name. It's not just enough to see the miraculous performed. Yet we see the miraculous all around us being performed. But yet Jesus says, I do not know you. So part of his will for you and I to get in that eternal place of rest is to know him. So let's continue to seek him, continue to build that relationship as we are encouraged. In Acts 20:27, for I have been hesitant to proclaim to you the whole will of God. I've been hesitant. Or should I say, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. When Paul would minister, he would minister the good and the bad and the ugly. He would say it as it is. He says, I've not hesitated to proclaim the whole will of God. And then he goes on in 28 and says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church. And you can see here that he's talking to those that God has given a specific task to be overseers. to be those that would shepherd and protect and nurture. And Paul says, I've not hesitated to bring the whole will of God. It's God's will that you submit yourselves. It's God's will that you humble yourselves and serve. Remember what Jesus says, I come not to be served, but to serve. So part of the will of God for our lives is to serve. And we're all called ministers, not just those with a label. We're all ministers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own blood. And he goes on to say, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, will not spare the flock. This is Paul teaching here. This is Paul saying to those that will listen, I'm giving you the whole will of God. And yet listen to what he says about the church. He says, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. That's the church. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Stand firm. We come back to that portion of scripture. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Stand firm with the shoes of the gospel. Be ready. Stand firm with the word of God, the sword of the spirit, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Stand firm knowing what God's will is. God's will is that you recognize who he is, you recognize what he's done, and you recognize even when you walk down that narrow pathway, he's never going to leave you or forsake you. That's the will of God, part of the will of God for our lives, may I suggest. That he wants to prosper you and not to harm you. But he wants you to know that as you allow yourselves to be softened and shaped, that he will mould you into who he wants you to be. The good news is that the answer is yes, and the amen is spoken by us. I'll just share a couple more scriptures because of time. I haven't got my watch on. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it is God's will that you be sanctified, be set apart. It's God's will that we're set apart. It's God's will that we recognise that we're in but not of the world. It's God's will that we recognise that we are to be changed and to be challenged. That's part of God's will for our lives. It's not just saying, Lord, show me which profession to go into when we talk about the will of God. It's God's will that we should be set apart for his glory. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So you want me to give thanks in all circumstances. This is part of God's will. So when things don't go our way, God says, give thanks. Not for the circumstances, but in the circumstances. Give thanks because God's above the circumstances. I remember, I think it was Jay John that was talking to a taxi driver. And Jay John says to this taxi driver, are you okay? And he said, yeah, I'm okay under the circumstances. And he said, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? He said, when you go to bed, you don't get under the mattress, do you? You get on the mattress. You should be on your circumstances, not under your circumstances. What a great message. Simplicity in itself. So, we're okay under the circumstances. No, in all circumstances, give thanks to God. Lord, I'm walking through treacle, but I know that you're there with me and you're going to help me through it. Lord, I'm suffering through this bereavement, but Father God, I know that you're there with me. Lord, this world that I live in, I'm struggling with, but I know that you have a future for me. You know, part of God's will is that we recognize there's a circumstance and we recognize that he's given us the armor to put on, and we recognize that he's victorious and he lives in us, and we recognize that's part of his will, to give thanks for the good and the not so good. That's part of God's will as we pray in 1 Peter 2:15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorance talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but don't use your freedom to cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. So we're slaves to righteousness, not slaves to sin. As part of God's will is to do good. It's for us to do good. That's part of God's will. So when we pray, God, what's your will for my life? Do good. Do good. Because it's good to do, isn't it? Do good. In Exodus 3 verse 12, and God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. And this is Moses talking to God, and he's going, I'm not confident here, God. And God says, I will be with you. Part of the will of God for us is to know that he'll be with us. And I'm not just using these portions of scriptures just to bring about the message I'm trying to bring about. But when you read through them, look through Exodus 3, read through that, you'll see that I will be with you is something that God says to his servants. And we're not just his servants, we're his friends, aren't we? So how much more will God say to us, I will be with you? And part of God's will is that we know that. So maybe you do know that today, and I'm just reminding, maybe I'm just reminding myself, but maybe you need to be reminded through this year that we've had of suffering in different ways, through maybe feeling isolated and lonely, maybe losing a loved one, maybe being anxious. We need to know that part of God's will for our lives is that he's with us. He won't leave us as orphans, is what he said. Matthew 7:13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many will enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There may be times that we feel that it is a narrow road. But God says, don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Look straight ahead. And that road is wider than you think it is. God gives us more liberty and more freedom than we think we know. Part of God's will, I believe, for our lives is that when we've entered that narrow gate, to keep our focus on going forward, that he will lead us, that he will guide us, that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. Part of his will is that we do good and that we understand that he is goodness. I will leave you with two scriptures, honestly. These are my final two. In John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will. This is Jesus talking. I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but do the will of him who sent me. Now we ask the question, what's your will for my life? Now Jesus understood the will of God. Let's see what the will of the Father was for the Son. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For the Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, not the snake in the wilderness, but the Son of the living God, Christ Jesus, and believes in him, shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. My Father's will, God's will, is that everyone who looks at the Son sees the Son, sees the Father. Everyone that looks at the Son will know that they have eternal life and they'll be raised up on the last day. Lord, what's your will for my life? That you know that you belong to him, that you're safe in his arms. I'll leave you with this scripture, John 6:28. Then they asked him, what must I do to do the work God requires? What do I need to do your will? Good question. Answer, Jesus says in 29. Jesus answered, the work of God is this. Are you ready? You want to know what the will of God is and what he calls us to do? It's summed up in this scripture. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. How simple is that when we say, Lord, what's your will for my life? Simply have faith. Have faith that Jesus is who God says he is. Have faith that he can do all that he says he can do. Have faith that he has a plan and a purpose for your lives, to prosper you and not to harm you, to protect you and enable you to go through suffering and hard times, to enable you to see in the darkness. The will of God is that we do good. Amen. Amen.